We're in James chapter 1, and praise the Lord. I was telling a good friend of mine today, preacher friend of mine, I said, I love Wednesday nights. I really do. I said, part I love is when I do a Wednesday night lesson now, they last me 3 weeks. Amen. Because I'm looking at the clock right now, and it's 7:45. And I've got to be done just a little after 8. Amen. That's when the kiddos flee. And so, but I hope this lesson tonight, as we look at proper perspectives, will be a blessing to you in the book of James. We'll try to tackle the first page here, but we'll get to where we get to and pick up the rest, Lord willing, next week. So if you would, stand with me as we read James chapter 1, and we'll read 3 verses tonight. And they're short verses, so we'll read them in unison together aloud, verses 9 through 11 of James chapter 1. And praise God for His Word. Amen. The last message I'm going to preach this year, Lord willing, amen. Of course, tonight could be the last message if we get raptured. Amen. I'm going to preach, Lord willing, on the last Sunday of the year on what if we had no Bible. What if we had no Bible? You ever think about that? Now, sadly, there's some Christians that live like they have no Bible. Never read it, gets dusty. Life, no power, no holiness, amen. But what if we had no Bible? I'm thankful for the Word of God. I know you are too, amen. Let's read verses 9 through 11 together. Ready? Begin. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. We're looking at proper perspectives tonight. Father, again, we pray that You'd bless Your Word now to our hearts, and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In your introduction on your lesson sheet tonight, in this lesson we're going to look at 3 different components of these verses. We're going to look, first bullet point in verse 9, at the poor. We're going to look at the poor. It says there, let the brother of low degree, okay, rejoice in that he is exalted. And verse 10, a second bullet point, we're going to look at the prosperous. The prosperous, those that are rich, amen, but the rich in that he is made low. And then in all the verses tonight, we're going to look at the proper attitude toward and by both the rich and the poor, okay? So we're looking at the poor, the prosperous, and the proper attitude toward both. Okay, Roman numeral number 1, the exaltation. The exaltation is found in verse number 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Here God commands those that are poor to rejoice in that he exalts them to a position of prominence. Here God commands those that are poor to rejoice in that he exalts them to a position of prominence. Folks, you read this verse, and I want to tell you what this is. This is a paradox. A paradox. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You say, what's a paradox, Pastor? Well, I didn't really know, so I looked it up and I put it right there on your lesson sheet. A paradox is a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense and yet is perhaps true. A paradox, amen. By the way, next point there on your outline, there are many puzzling paradoxes in the Scriptures. We have 7 here. Let's look up some of these verses together, amen. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Andy, you pray for me. I'm breaking in a new preaching Bible here. Amen. And sometimes it's hard to find the pages in that new Bible. Amen. And so if I go a little slow, you bear with me. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verses 9 and 19. We see something very interesting here. Here Jesus sent His disciples out, and He says in verse 9, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses," and then go down to verse 19, "but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." One of the first puzzling paradoxes is prudence through providence. You say, why is that a paradox, Pastor? Because many times in the Scriptures, God tells us to be good stewards. God tells us to provide for our own. God tells us to prepare. Amen? And here He simply says, don't prepare. I'll give you what you need when you need it. It's a paradox. Amen? It's a paradox. If you would, go over just a couple pages to Matthew chapter 11. Very, very familiar verses. Matthew chapter 11, blessed verses, amen. Verse 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here we find rest through labor. That's a paradox. If we could say that's contrary, how can you rest through labor? I'll tell you how. Because His yoke is a lot easier than the ones we give ourselves. Amen. So rest through labor. How about Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24, talking about some puzzling paradoxes here. Verses 24 through 26, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here's a puzzling paradox. Finding through losing. Finding through losing. We mentioned that Sunday. You ever lost something? My goodness, it's frustrating. Amen. Jesus says here, you want to find your life? Lose it in serving me. Puzzling paradox. Amen. How about Luke chapter 6, verse 38? Go over just a few pages to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Well, now I'm going to go right ahead here. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The cross reference there in Proverbs 11:24 says, "There is he that scattereth, and yet increaseth." You know what this is? Getting through giving. Getting through giving. Listen, I'm a pastor and I believe everybody ought to tithe. Everybody ought. That is God's minimum baseline. But I'm going to tell you, you want to experience some blessings from God, you start going above the tithe. You look at some great men of the past, some great businessmen like J.C. Penney and Colgate, who were giving 60, 70, 80, 90% of their profits to God, and all God did was bless them beyond measure. Now, I'm not telling you to give 90%, please. Amen. Make your house payment. Because then you give 90% and then said, "Pray for me, I need a house payment." Amen. Don't be foolish. Amen. But boy, I'll tell you what, there's a paradox there. Getting through giving. You say, well, if I give it away, how can I get? Because you can't outgive God. Amen. Getting through giving. How about this one? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're familiar with these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And by the way, I'll say this from the outset. You need to be saved to understand the scriptural paradoxes. A lost person, this is not going to make any sense to them. Amen. By the way, it has enough trouble making sense to those of us who have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. But here's another one. If you would, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Next one, strength through weakness. Strength through weakness. Human weakness, divine strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. The next one there is found in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Gas, Electric, and Phone Company. If you want to memorize where those books are, amen. It's always easy to remember that one, amen. Those are paying the piper. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, blessed verse of the Scripture. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." This sixth bullet point here, living through dying. Living through, says there, "I'm crucified with Christ." Hey, you know why we have eternal life? Because one died. Didn't Jesus talk about that in John chapter 12 when He talks about how if a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone? Oh, but if it's buried, it brings forth fruit. Praise God, living through. And then the last one there, Ephesians chapter 4. Got Ephesians right after Galatians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1 there. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Then jump over to Ephesians 6:20. See an interesting verse there. It says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." How about this one? Freedom through slavery. Freedom through slavery. Paul said, "I'm free. I have liberty in Christ, but I'm a bond slave to Him." Amen? These puzzling paradoxes. Amen? Now let's try and finish up this section here if we could. The words of low degree, back in James chapter 1 there, the words of low degree are certainly that of man's estimation. Okay? Of low degree are certainly that of man's estimation. We find a similar phrase used by Mary in the Magnificat. Many of you know that this time of year. If you would, let's go over to Luke chapter 1. Hold your place there in James. Go to Luke chapter 1. Let's look up the Magnificat. This prayer of Mary's, this exaltation of Mary's after she was told she was going to give birth to a baby boy conceived of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're getting ready to celebrate that in just a couple of weeks. It says in verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats." And look at this, folks. "And hath exalted them of low degree. Similar statement there. Amen. Praise the Lord on your outline. Thankfully, the ground is level at Calvary. The ground is level at Calvary. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? No one is too poor to be saved. Did not Jesus say in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that He came to preach the gospel to the poor? Oh, I love Isaiah 55, 1. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Praise God, salvation's free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you just a bit of practical here as we look at the end there of page one here. Now think about this. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. And then of course it says, but the rich in that he is made low. Why is it easier to rejoice when you have money on you? Don't look at me like you're a visitor from heaven tonight. It's always easier to rejoice when you've got $100 in your pocket rather than when you're waiting for that check to come in a few days. Amen. Isn't it? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you. And listen, I'm convicted. I sat down in Pastor Donald's office this morning. I told him about this and I began to weep. I got convicted about it. Because as believers in Christ, we have the tendency to allow ourselves to be influenced by our circumstances rather than take stock of our standing in Christ. Amen? I'll read that again. Why is it easier to rejoice when you have money on you? Because as believers in Christ, we have the tendency to allow ourselves to be influenced by our circumstances rather than take stock of our standing in Christ. I want to look up these last two verses we have, the cross references here. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 20. You remember this is a great passage where Jesus sent His disciples out. We already made mention of it. And they came back and said, "You're not going to believe this. This is great. Even the devils are subject to us." And Jesus said in verse 20, He said, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Some have called Romans chapter 8 the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. Amen. And it is a wonderful chapter. Starts with no condemnation and ends with how nothing can separate us from the love of God. Praise God. Look, if you would, at verse number... Well, you can look at verse 16, first of all. Oh, it's so... such a great chapter of the Word of God. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." When's the last time you thought about that? You say, "Pastor, I don't have two nickels to rub together." I know, times can be hard sometimes. Miss Jane Webb said she just had to replace her furnace. That's not cheap. They don't give those to you. Amen. They don't say, "Jane, you look like a nice lady. Here's a free furnace." No. But you know what? Listen, every one of us has riches beyond measure in Jesus Christ. And you know what this is? It's a temporal life. It's a temporal life. And that's why God says in this verse, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. It's not money that exalts us. It may in man's eyes, but it's our standing in Jesus Christ. We're partakers of the riches of His grace. Amen. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for all that You give to us. Oh God, You said that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. One day you're going to share all your riches with us just because we're joint heirs with You. How wonderful You are, God. Lord, help those tonight that perhaps are struggling financially. Perhaps this Christmas season is going to be a lean time. I pray that You'd help them to rejoice in their standing in You. God bless tonight. Lord, we love You. Thank You for all that You give to us. Lord, be with us now as we dismiss, and Lord, as we sing just this invitation hymn, My Father is rich and houses are laid. I'm a child of the King, God. Thank You that we are children of the King. Help us to be faithful, to watch and wait until You come. In Jesus' name, amen. Page 3.